Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
Oman, episode number 3. So far we've found this surprisingly country in Arabia is sort of like the massive super empire at the time of Elizabethan and the Renaissance. It sort of came out as a sort of massive empire which extended down and then wrestled power from the Portuguese, and then the British totally just stuffed it, is my general thing. They had the coastal region, and then the back region became a liability, and so the back region wanted independence. Unfortunately, it wanted independence, and it also had oil, and so therefore the British bombed and destroyed it, and bombed and destroyed and machine gunned and sent in regiments and all that type of stuff. And then this is in 1956, right? And in 1970 they got rid of slavery. This type of, you know, what's going on here? So it's pretty amazing to watch it. Oh, there's actually there's some actually quite nice points in here, but it's talking now about the climate. We're on page 6 of 22. Obviously the last 10 pages are just references, and it's not as insane as UAE now. That's because I think it's a country, whereas UAE is a point in time. It's 1971 lived over and over again, sort of like Groundhog Day. Like the rest of the Persian Gulf, and you realise I'm trying to learn to read a bit better all the time. Oman generally has one of the hottest climates in the world, with summer temperatures at Muscat in northern Oman averaging 30 to 40 degrees. Oh, well, bullshit, it's like a Sydney. Oman receives little rainfall, with annual rainfall in Muscat averaging 100 millimetres. Well, that's fuck all. Occurring mostly in January. In the south, the Dufar Mountains near Shal Al Ha has a tropical-like climate and receives seasonal rainfalls from late June to late September. As a result of the monsoon winds from the Indian Ocean, receiving the summer air saturated with cool moisture and heavy fog. Summer temperatures in Sal Al-A range from 20 to 30 degrees. Wow, relatively cool compared to the northern Oman. She was, that's sort of where I'm sort of planning a sort of sheltered retirement to get away from the hustle and bustle of here at Glenbrook, cosmopolitan Glenbrook. There's just too much going on here in Glenbrook. And I'm planning to go to something a little bit similar to that, and that's Albany in Western Australia. The mountain areas receive more rainfall. The annual rainfall is higher in parts of Jal Akbar, probably exceeds 400 millimetres. Low temperatures in the mountainous areas leads to snow cover once every few years. Parts of the coast, particularly near the island of Mishra, sometimes receive no rain at all within the course of a year. The climate is generally very hot, with the temperatures around 54 degrees in the hot season from May to September. Wow, far out, that would be a hot island. On the 26th of June, the city of Quart has set a record highest temperature for a 24-hour period of 42.6. Oh, minimum temperature. Oh my God, that's a bit hot. Flora and fauna. Well, we know that Kuwait has got that full 24 types of fungus, which would be pretty amazing to see. I want to go out into this sandbar and see the fungus. They've killed off all these things. The desert shrub and desert grass, common in northern Arabia, is found in northern Oman, but vegetation is sparse in the interior plateau, which is largely gravel desert. A greater monsoon rainfall in Dhofar and the mountains makes the growth there more luxuriant during summer. Coconut palms grow plentifully on the coastal plains of Dhofar, and Francis is produced in the hills with abundant oleander and varieties of acacia. In the Al Hajar Mountains, a district of Echo region, the highest points of Eastern Arabia with wildlife, including the Arabian Tahir. Okay, well, it's Arabian, what is it? Onks, whatever it is, that thing, Tahir. I do not quite understand. Indigenous mammals include the leopard, hyena, fox, wolf, hare, onx, ibex. Birds include vulture, eagle, stork, buzzard, Arabian partridge, bee-eater, falcon, and sunbird. We have the most entertaining bird I have ever seen. It's called the Wonga pigeon. It's a pigeon where they sort of misdrew it, and it's nice, and it tends to walk around the place, and it can't, it's sort of a bit lazy, and I like it because it decides it's going to walk through the pool fence, and these are these vertical straps things down, and it can't make it, it sort of goes up and just sits there for a while thinking, oh, I'm not going to be eaten. I'd like to go through, just too hard, it sits there. Okay. However, the Arabian Onyx Sanctuary is the first site ever to have been deleted from the UNESCO World Heritage List following the government's decision to reduce the site by 90% in order to clear way for oil prospectors. Far out. In recent years, Oman has become one of the newer hotspots for whale watching, highlighting the critically endangered Arabian humpback whale, the most isolated and only non-migratory population in the world. Sperm whales and pygmy blue whales. Pygmy blue whales. Be rather sad because blue whales are actually known to be gigantic. And there's a non-migratory. Drought, environmental issues. Drought and limited rainfall contribute to shortages of the nation's water supply. Maintaining the adequate supply of water for agriculture and domestic use in Oman, most pressing environmental problems. With limited renewable water resources, 94% of available water is used for farming and 2% for industrial activity, with the majority sourced from fossil waters in the desert areas and spring waters in the hills and mountains. So that's just completely rooted. What's it going to do? What are you going to do? In terms of climate action, major challenges remain to be solved. The United Nations Sustainable Development Index, whatever it is, the CO2 emissions per capita, emissions embodied in fossil fuel exports per capita rates very high, while CO2 imported is affected by climate-related disasters. Rates are low. Drinking water is available throughout Oman, either piped or delivered. Well, thank you very much. That's a pretty stunning point, because I suppose it's not going to rain into your mouth or anything like that. The soil and coastal plains such as Salhala have shown increased levels of salinity due to the overexploitation of groundwater and the encroachment of seawater onto the water table. Oh, God. Pollution of beaches and other coastal areas by oil tanker traffic through the Straits of Hormuz and the Gulf of Oman has also persistent concern. Local and national entities have noted unethical treatment of animals in Oman. I do like the UAE robotic camels. In particular, stray dogs and, to a lesser extent, stray cats are often the victims of torture, abuse and neglect. Currently, the only approved method of decreasing a stray dog population is shooting by police officers. Oman government has refused to implement a spray and neuter program or create any animal shelters in the country. Cats, while seen as more acceptable than dogs, are viewed as pests and frequently die of starvation or illness. Thank you for that piece of information. In 2019, the World Health Organization, WHO, ranked Oman as the least polluted country in the Arab world. With a score of 37.7 pollution index, the country is ranked the 112th in Asia amongst the list of highest polluted countries. Oh, my God. Now, Oman politics. Oman is a unitary state, that means, and an absolute monarchy. So there's no federal system, there's no states, it's just, it's all in charge, and it's an absolute monarchy, in which all the judicial powers ultimately rest in the hands of hereditary sultan. Freedom House has rated the country as not free, as an absolute monarchy. Well, you don't have to be that brain smart. The Sultan is head of the state and directly controls foreign affairs, defence portfolios. He is an absolute power in issues of law by decree. The legal system, the Aman, is an absolute monarchy with the Sultan's words and the force of law. Judicial balance is subordinate to the Sultan. According to the Oman's constitution, Sharia law is the one of the sources of legislation. Sharia law court departments within the civil court system are responsible for family law matters such as divorce and inheritance. The country has no system of checks and balances and thus no separation of powers. All powers are concentrated in the Sultan, who is also Chief of Staff of the Armed Forces, Minister of Defence, Minister of Foreign Affairs, Chairman of the Central Bank. All legislation since 1970 has been promulgated through royal decrees, including the 1996 Basic Law. The Sultan appoints judges and can grant pardons, commute sentences. The Sultan's authority is inviolable, and the Sultan expects a loyal, total subordination to his will. Oh, well, that's fairly simple, isn't it? Australia's got this hugely complicated division of powers, levels of courts, constitutions, people arguing things, and it's not so much easier. I hate to say it, but it's a little bit like being married. The administration of justice is highly personalised, with limited due process protections, especially in political and security-related cases. The basic statute of the state is supposedly the cornerstone of the Omani legal system and operates as a constitution for the country. The basic statute was issued in 1996 and thus far has only been amended once in 2011 in response to protests. The Oman's legal code theoretically protects civil liberties and personal freedoms. Both are regularly ignored by the regime. Women and children face legal discrimination in many areas. Women are excluded from certain state benefits, such as housing loans, refused equal rights under the personal law status law. Women also experience restriction on their self-determination in respect to health and reproductive rights. Through Oman's legal code, theoretical political civil liberties and personal freedoms are both regularly ignored by the regime. Women and children face legal discrimination in many areas. Women are excluded from certain state benefits. Oh, sorry. Since the beginning of the Omani Spring in January 2011, a number of serious violations of civil rights have been reported, amounting to a critical declaration of human rights situation. Prisons are not accessible by independent monitors. Members of the independent Omani group of human rights have been harassed, arrested and sentenced to jail. There have been numerous testimonies of torture and other inhumane forms of punishment perpetrated by security forces on protesters and detainees. The detainees were all peacefully exercising their right of freedom of expression and assembly, although authorities must obtain court orders to hold suspects in pre-trial detention. They do not regularly follow these procedures. The Penal Code is amended in October 2011 to allow for the arrest and detention of individuals without an arrest warrant from the public prosecutors. Well, far out. So that's a step back. I just am finding this we just really have to sit back and say, look, at a certain point forward, we've got to found the path forward process, saying just creating a space for Cameroon and the Arabian Peninsula to go forward, because they're just going to just, can you imagine what we, like we're in Australia and stuff like that, and we were just, it's just like this child abuse going in your next door neighbour. There's a limit if they've got sort of a gun and control of everything, but there's a way of slowly pushing away. Oman, human rights. Oman is an absolute monarchy by male primogeniture. Kubus, whose dad is Said, also of Said, served as a hereditary leader of the country from 1970 until his death in 2020. Homosexual acts are illegal in Oman. The practice of torture is widespread in Oman. State penal institutions become the state's typical reaction to independent political expression. Torture methods used by the Oman include mock execution, beating, hooding, solitary confinement, subjection to extremes of temperature, and to constant noise, abuse, and humiliation. Sounds like my home life. There have been numerous reports of torture and other inhumane forms of punishment perpetrated by Omani security forces on protesters and detainees. Several prisoners detained in 2012 complained of sleep deprivation, extreme temperatures, solitary confinement. Omani authorities kept Sultan Al-Sayed, a local media activist, in solitary confinement and denied him access to his lawyer and family and forced him to wear a black bag over his head whenever he left his cell, including when using the toilet. And told him and his family had forsaken him and asked for him to be imprisoned. That sounds a bit like my family. So here's someone who looks as though he's got a blue bowl on his head. I'll just read who he is. He's Muhammad Al-Safari, an exiled Omani writer, journalist, now living in the UK. His author, his book has been banned in Oman. He is also the founder of the EIC of Malwatan. Omani government decides who can or cannot be a journalist, and this permission can be withdrawn at any time. Censorship and self-censorship are a constant factor. Omanis have limited access to political information through the media. Access to news and information can be problematic. Journalists have been to be content with news compiled by official news agencies on some issues. Through a decree of the Sultan, the government has now extended its control over the media to blogs and other websites. Omanis cannot hold public meetings without the government approval. Omanis who want to set up non-government organisations of any kind need a licence. To get a licence, they have to demonstrate that the organisation is for legitimate objectives and is not inimical to the social orders. The Omani government does not permit the formation of independent civil society associations. Human Rights Watch issued on the 2016 that an Omani court sentenced three journalists to prison in order the permanent closure of their newspaper over an article of alleged corruption in the judiciary. The law prohibits criticism of the Sultan and the government in any form or medium. Oman's police do not need a search warrant to enter people's homes. The law does not provide citizens with the right to change their government. The Sultan retains ultimate authority on all foreign and domestic issues. Government officials are not subject to financial disclosure laws. Libel laws and concerns for national security have been used to suppress criticism of the government figures and political objectionable views. Publication of books is limited and the government restricts their importation and distribution, as with other media products. I'm really feeling my brain is being able to read this. I wish I could remember the bits I wanted to. Merely mentioning the existence of such restrictions can land Omanis in trouble. In 2009, the web publisher was fined and given a suspended jail sentence for revealing that a supposedly live TV program was actually pre-recorded to eliminate any criticisms of the government. Faced with so many restrictions, Omanis have resorted to unconventional methods of expressing their views. Omanis sometimes use donkeys to express their Omanis sometimes use donkeys to express their views. Writing about Gulf rulers in 2011, Dale Eagleman observed the only in Oman has the occasional donkey been used as a mobile billboard to express anti-regime sentiments. There's no way in which the police can maintain dignity in seizing and destroying a donkey whose flank has a political message has been inscribed. Some people have been arrested for allegedly spreading fake news about the COVID-19 pandemic in Oman. Shit, they're rooted far out. So basically, that's my level of expression. If I want to actually complain about what's happening in the family, I've got to get my donkey gone. Okay, Omani citizens need government permission to marry foreigners. The Ministry of Interior requires Omani citizens to obtain permission to marry foreigners except nationals of GCC countries. Permission is not automatically granted. Citizen marriage to a foreigner abroad without ministry approval may result in denial of entry for the foreigner's spouse at the border and preclude children from claiming citizenship rights. It may also result in a bar from government employment and a fine of 2,000 riyals. United Arab Emirates dollar or something like that. In 2014, the Omani writer and human rights defender Muhammad Asfar Zari, the founder of editor-in-chief of the e-magazine Moen Citizen, disappeared after going to a police station in Al Qum district in Muscat. Well, he should have watched it. For several months, the Omani government denied his detention and refused to disclose the information about his whereabouts or condition. On the 17th of July 2015, Afzal left Oman seeking political asylum in the UK after a travel ban was issued against him without proving any reasons and after his official documents, including his national ID passport, were confiscated for more than 8 months. There were more reports of politically motivated disappearances in the country. In 2012, armed security forces arrested Saltan Al-Sadi, a social media activist. According to reports, authorities detained him at an unknown location for 1 month for comments he posted online critical of the government. Authorities previously arrested Al-Salad in 2011 for participating in protests, and again in 2012 for posting comments online deemed to be insulting to Sultan Qaboos. In May 2012, security forces detained Ismail al-Melbali, Habibia al- and all these different people, human rights activists who were visiting striking oil workers. Authorities released very shortly after the detention but did not inform al-Mehdi's friends and families of his whereabouts for weeks. Authorities pardoned something or other in December 2013. A Yemeni national disappeared in Oman after he was arrested at a checkpoint in Doha, governor. Omani's authorities refused to acknowledge his detention. His whereabouts and conditions remain unknown. The National Rights Commission, established in 2008, is not independent from the regime. It's chaired by the former Deputy Inspector General of Police and Customs, and its members are appointed by royal decree. In 2012, one of its members requested that he or she be relieved of his duties because she disagreed with a statement made by the Commission justifying the arrest of intellectuals and bloggers, and the restriction of freedom of expression in the name and respect the principles of religion and customs of our country. Since the beginning of the Omani Spring in 2011, a number of serious violations of civil rights have been reported, amounting to critical deterioration in the human rights situation. Prisons are inaccessible to independent monitors. Members of independent Omani group of human rights have been harassed, arrested, and sentenced to jail. It seems to, so they're just getting their stuff out. There have been numerous testimonies of torture and inhumane forms of punishment perpetrated by security forces on protesters and detainees. The detainees were peacefully exercising their rights to freedom of expression and assembly. Although authorities must obtain court orders to hold suspects in pretrial detention, they do not regularly do this. The Penal Code was amended in 2011 to allow for the arrest and detention of individuals I really feel I'm reading the same section again. In January 2014, Omani intelligence agents arrested a Bahraini actor and handed him over to the Bahraini authorities on the same day of his arrest. The actor was subjected to forced disappearance and his whereabouts and conditions remain unknown. Migrant workers. The plight of domestic workers in Oman is a taboo subject. In 2011, the Philippines government determined that out of all the countries in the Middle East, only Oman and Israel qualified to be safe for Filipino immigrants. In 2012, it was reported that every 6 days an Indian immigrant in Oman commits suicide, and there has been a campaign urging authorities to check the migrant suicide rate. In 2012 Global Slavery Index, Oman is ranked number 45 due to only 26,000 people in slavery. That's pretty going well. The descendants of servant tribes and slaves are victims of widespread discrimination. Oman was one of the last countries to abolish slavery in 1970. It would have been just... Are we going to get around to abolishing slavery? Let's wait till the dad carks it and the new person gets in. Whoa, this just makes me just insane. Since 1970, Oman has pursued a moderate foreign policy and has expanded its diplomatic relations dramatically. Oman is one of the very few Arab countries that have maintained friendly ties with Iran. WikiLeaks disclosed US diplomatic cables which state that Oman helped free British sailors captured by the Iranian Navy in 2007. Same cables also portray that the Anani government as wishing to maintain cordial relations with Iran and as having consistently resisted US diplomatic pressure to adopt a sterner stance. Oman is allowed the British Royal Navy and Indian Navy to access its port facilities and dry dock, whatever reason. Military. Oman's military and security expenditure, spending the GDP, is 16.5%, a good four times the factor that we would have in Australia. Making us the world's highest military rate in that year. Oman's, on average, military spending is around 10%. Well, the world's average is about 2.2%. I'm sure Australia is really down. Oman's military manpower totaled 44,000 in 2006, including 25,000 men in the army, 4,000 sailors, and an air force of 4,000 personnel. It's about the size, a little bit bigger than the Australian Army. The Royal Household maintained 5,000 guards, 1,000 special fleets, 150 sailors in the Royal Yacht Fleet, 250 pilots on the ground personnel in the Royal Flight Squadrons. Oman also maintains a modestly sized paramilitary force of 4,400 men. The Royal Army of Oman has 2,500 active personnel, plus a small contingent of royal household troops. Despite a comparatively large military spending, it has been relatively slow to modernise its forces. Oman has a relatively limited number of tanks, including a whole lot of US tanks and a Challenger. Wow, Scorpions, that'd be around in museums in Australia. The Royal Air Force in Oman is approximately 4,100 men, with only 36 combat aircraft and no armed helicopters. Combat aircraft include 20 aging Jaguars, 12 Hawks, my God, a PC-9 turbo trainers with limited combat capability. It has one squadron of, it's just got nothing. The Oman Navy has 4,200 men in 2000, the headquarters in Sib. It has 8 ocean-going patrol boats, has one 250-ton Nasser al-Bahr class, 240 troops and 7 tanks with the helicopter decks. Oman also has at least 4 landing craft. Oman ordered 3 Karif class corvettes from the VT groups. They were built in Plymouth. In 2010, Oman spent $4 billion on military expenditures, 85% of its gross domestic product. The Sultan has a strong history of associating with the military and British defence industry. Basically, they're pouring money into it and not getting anything out of it. There's got all its about 10... How many military... 11 governorates. The economy. Oman's basic structure of state expresses in Article 11 that the national economy is based on justice and the principle of free economy. By regional standards, Oman is a relatively diversified economy, but remains dependent on oil exports in terms of monetary value. Mineral fuels about 82% of the products exported. Tourism is the fastest growing industry in Oman. Well, that's because the uneducated tourists. Other sources of income include agriculture. Industry are small in comparison, account for 1% of the country's exports. But diversification is seen as a priority by the government. Agriculture is often subsistence in its character, produces dates, limes, grains, vegetables, but with less than 1% of the country is under cultivation, Oman is likely to remain an importer of food. Oman's social economic structure is described as being hyper-centralized rentier welfare state. The largest 10% of the corporations in Oman employs almost 80% of the Omani nationals in the private sector. Half the private sector jobs are classified as elementary. One-third of the employment in Oman are in the private sector, while the remaining majority are public sector. A hyper-centralized structure produces a monopoly-like economy, which hinders having a healthy and competitive environment between businesses. You are not wrong there. What an insane place. Quite honestly, no, look. What an Australian reading Wikipedia article goes, but that is so disappointing. Since the slump in oil prices in 1998, Oman made active plans to diversify the economy by placing greater emphasis on other areas of industry and the tourism infrastructure. But if you've got really dumb people in the active competition, Oman had the 2020 vision to diversify the economy established in 1995, which targeted a decrease in the oil's share to less than 10% of the GDP by 2020, but it was rendered obsolete in 2011. Oman then established the 2040 vision. A free trade agreement with the United States took effect on the 1st of January 2009, eliminated tariff barriers on all consumer and industrial products, and so provided strong protections for foreign businesses investing in Oman. Tourism, another source of Oman's revenue, is on the rise. A popular event is the Karif Festival held in Shalah Dufa, which is 1,200 kilometres from the city of Muscat during the monsoon season, and is similar to the Muscat Festival. During the later event, mountains surrounding Saha are popular with tourists as a result of the cool weather and lush greenery rarely found elsewhere in Oman. Oman's foreign workers send an estimated $10 billion annually to their home states of Asia, Africa, more than half of them earning a monthly wage of less than $400. The largest forest community is the Indian states, Tamil, representing more than half the entire workforce in Oman. Salaries of overseas workers are known to be less than for Omani's nationals, though still from 2 to 5 times higher than the equivalent jobs in India. In terms of foreign direct investment, FDI, total investments in 2017 exceeds $24 billion. The highest share of FDI went to the oil and gas sector, which represented around $13 billion, followed by financial intermediation. FDI dominated. Be with you soon. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.